for the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one.
And welcome back to Rewalt Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I think we're in a already fantastic season. It was some more good news today.
What was that?
Well, Jack Rewalt re-signing for another 2 years. Takes him through his age 32 season, which is a bit, but did a bit of research today, and I think I'm reasonably confident he's going to age well.
And what's that?
Well, the comparable players. So it was hard to find an exact comparison, but it was very noticeable doing a bit of research that Pavlich, Richo, and Nick Rewalt all finished at 34. Matty Lloyd was a similar age. Barry Hall finished at 34. Alistair Lynch lasted till 36, wrestling people in the goal square. Warren Treadray was done at about 31, but he was he'd already shown signs of injury and loss of form well before that. So, yeah, I think as long as you're fit and healthy, sort of heading into your 30s, the chances of you being productive for a couple of more years seem pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's the most interesting thing. I found, while the AFL doesn't release contract details of players, I find for a player that we never expected to lose and wasn't in contract till the end of next year, I found that announcement fundamentally underwhelming, unless it was my job to produce content for the Richmond website every day. But what is interesting is how long Jack will play for. One thing that maybe that gives a sign that, I mean, you're right, there's no obvious signs of decline. But the other thing it sort of bodes well for him is that he doesn't rely on, like Treadway relied on, you know, he was an old-fashioned centre-half forward and relied on true strength, whereas, Jack, at his best, like he's playing at the moment, he's taking a lot of strong contested marks in the centre of packs. He doesn't always have to play like that. He gets goals through guile and hard work and understanding the angles, and you know, as he declines in importance of the team, I think his football smarts will help him find a role, even if it's not as central as it is now.
Yeah, I mean, ideally he can sort of transition to a number two role.
Exactly.
I thought it was sort of, it's, you know, in a week in which another rival was successfully seen off, it's, yeah, it was a good thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, call me back when Jaden Schwartz resigns. But I'm happy. I'm far more concerned about the fact that Jack's playing good football.
Who's Jaden Schwartz? I don't know. Travis Varko clearly had no idea.
I found that extraordinary.
Really.
By the way, we didn't plan that beforehand. That nifty bit of that was spontaneous comedy. But how could you have not a game plan for that? And then, oh, it happened once. Bugger! You know, we worked all week on this, and so let's not happen it again. Oh, it happened again, damn it!
Yeah, it was like a comedy routine. It was about 45 seconds in between calls. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, just probably the runner might not have even had time to get out there and insert his foot up Varko's ass before it happened again.
I know. Yeah, fantastic. So look, it was a big game on Saturday. 88,000 people included in that 88,000 were one of my kids and two of yours for their first you know, big proper game at the MCG, and it was nerve-wracking, but we triumphed in the end.
Yeah, I'm probably... I was more smug after the game when I realised the... I mean, I was... To be honest, I was really worried at three-quarter time, even though I expected to win because I knew they already had one player out. I didn't realise the second highest player had done his knee. You know, I expected to win, but I was really worried about certain things that were happening in the game.
Mm.
And then, obviously, we won. It was great. And it was smug. But, yeah, sort of in hindsight, I was actually happy when I found out that Prestia was playing injured for the second half because it meant we weren't the only... You know, that it wasn't all a complete handicap in our advantage, that we had some issues too. But, you know, you can only beat the team that we were playing, and we did beat them. It was very happy, and there were many vintage performances on in us, and it was a very classical Richmond game in many of the stats. I thought one of the interesting things was, and I've been watching the tape just trying to get my head around the enormous amount of possession that the Collingwood mids got. Pendlebury had 37 in the end, and Sidebottom had 37 and 38. The two of them had, and although they didn't finish with that low disposal efficiency, they were going, you know, they weren't cutting us apart offensively.
No, particularly not when they were kicking at about 25-30% for a large proportion of the day.
Yeah, so it was an interesting tactical game, and, you know, Cochin was our second worst player by the champion data ranking points. Third worst, sorry, my bad. Arguably, or he probably lost his matchup, you know, sort of our midfield pressure maybe, it's sort of a different style of game, and maybe the complete dominance of the Collingwood players in pure disposal stats is a bit flattering to them.
Yeah, I think so. We had our sort of, that sometimes we're prepared to concede the first stoppage in order to get pressure on and prevent a clear disposal, balanced against that, we did have some guys who were very quiet. Like, I think Kane Lambert had 5 possessions in the first half, it was striking when we put the foot to the accelerator at the start of the last quarter how a number of guys who'd been a bit quiet and dusty amongst them suddenly emerged, and that is part of the Richmond DNA, that we can, you know, you can keep some of the key players down for a while, but it's very hard to keep them down for 4 quarters.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Dusty had 1 possession in the third quarter when Collingwood really came at us, and had 9 and a beautiful goal in the last.
He was leading disposal winner in the last quarter. Should have had 2 goals.
But to me, the hero of the game was probably Shane Edwards, who with 22, was our highest ranked player, but 22 disposals, over 500 metres gained, and incredibly 45 pressure points, which is not, that's the champion data measure, which is not all world, but, you know, that's a good Jack Graham, as the absolute benchmark. So that's very good offensively, very good defensively, 8 intercepts, 6 involvements. That's another superb all-round performance.
That is very good. Well, there are a number of players, I think, qualifying that. Dion Prestia, bruised ribs and all, led us in pressure points and worked pretty hard all day, although, again, a bit slightly down on disposals. I think I said to you at 3-quarter time that I was genuinely worried that defenders in Asprey, Short and Broad were our 3 leading possession winners at the time.
Yeah, it was a point well made. The thing about Prestia, yes, he was a bit down in disposals, but if you have 7 clearances and 7 tackles, and as you said, the pressure points, more willing to forgive it when Dusty, you know, was down on possessions, kicked the 3 goals in fairness, but he's
that was such deeply satisfying goals.
Oh yeah, I literally just watched the last goal where he kicked the goal and then he shouted something in the Collingwood cheer squad. It was It was beautiful. But
I know that he took the bounce and slowed down while he was before he kicked the goal,
and then celebrated with gusto. That
was pretty great.
I was just going to say his defensive stats were terrible.
Yeah, they were. Led the game for contested marks.
Yeah. It's a fun stat, but
It just meant that four times he just monstered dudes, and as regular listeners will know, that is one of my favourite things in the world. And he had a knack for timing as well, particularly that the end of the second quarter goal as well. That was very tidy.
Yeah, it was more of a cameo game than a virtuoso, but helped get the job done. McIntosh was interesting.
Yeah, I liked his game rewatching it a bit more than I did the first time I saw it.
Yeah, did flub a bit. The bit where Dusty did that beautiful worm burner pass to him, dribbling kick, and then he managed to miss Townsend, who was probably 35 metres in the clear, and I could have hit. Was not his finest disposable moment. But you look at that. There's all these sorts of nice smothers. So a couple of beautiful tackles. A moment where he was 2-on-1 against a marking contest, and he forced it to ground. There's all sorts of Camden McIntoshy moments. And I don't think he's coming back out of the team because he's an MCG specialist, and we need him in there.
Yeah, I think one problem with the game was, our pressure stats were reasonable, but there was an issue with that they had a lot more tackles than we did, and I think there were a few players whose disposal under pressure was shown to be a bit shaky. Brandon Ellis, K-Mac, Nathan Broad, even occasionally Dave Asprey, Jacob Townsend. So yeah, there were calls for concern.
I've noticed the last two weeks that we've been giving Brando the ball in all these sorts of weird positions that aren't very advantageous. I don't know if he's calling for it too much, but it's like it's like he's Dusty, and he's just not a good. You don't give the ball to him in a contested ball in a situation where he might have to get involved in traffic.
Bashahuli can't come back quick enough to stop that from happening.
Yeah, but I'm actually happier with a Brandon Ellis 15 possession game than I am with the 25 one.
Yeah. So
I love watching Nick Vlosten live, by the way. I think he's our best kick. From a standing position, he's our best kick.
Yeah, and I thought Collingwood did a pretty good job of neutralising Rance, so I didn't quite... I always love watching Rance for when he breaks off his man and covers 30 metres to nullify a goal, and they did quite a good job technically to stop him.
As was pointed out, it was actually a good point by Gary Lyon is that...
I know, I was shocked.
Yeah, he came back to it, but he kept being right. The tactic with Rance appears to be to put the ball on his head. And it was noticeable. The Pies, for all their... they had a superficially very accurate scoreline, but they actually, that was their expected score because they were getting really good quality shots, and part of that was because they were getting shots in good positions, which is really
weird. Yeah, look, 11 ones, even from good quality shots, is...
Yeah, but they would have, their expected points was actually 78, and they scored 77. Like, they were getting good quality shots.
I think they missed a few in the last quarter.
They did, but... Part of the reason they were getting good quality shots is because we weren't dominating the air. There were
no Cox was bringing the ball to the ground. Like they weren't. Oh, Hoskin Elliott taking. Like Nathan Broad, he played a good game and had a lot of respect, but he's not great overhead.
And won't want to do another 100 metres chase.
No, leave that to Dylan Grimes.
Yeah, it was valiant the way he kept going.
He certainly tried. And he is quick, but it shows how there's above average fast, and then there's really fast, which Stevenson and Grimes both are.
Yeah, that was not a good foot race for most players on that ground would not have looked good in that situation.
Mm. No, but Nathan Broad is again sort of quite competent overhead because we don't expose him. But yeah, Hoskonali really is annoyingly good overhead for somebody 5 centimetres shorter.
Yeah, and he gives us trouble.
But well, and Josh Thomas really gave us trouble, which is not a problem we've often had, is the small forward really getting off the leash like that.
No, he absolutely killed us. 4 goals. Going to their equivalents, I liked Towner's game.
I did. He came and went in the play. The first and last quarters were very solid, and it was a bit. He was a bit missing in between.
He had 3 disposals in the first half, so, you know, I'm not overplaying this. But there was 2 things I thought I noticed about his game more than the stats and the very nice goal in the last quarter, which was actually absolutely crucial in the play, was one that he had an almost game. Like, he had at least 2, maybe 3 more marks that he basically 90% had, and he just dropped just before they were paid. And secondly, the blocking for Jack. If you look on the tape, you can. He works.
He works really hard doing that.
Yeah, 2 of Jack's goals came from. You know, he might have got there anyway. You never know. But they were made a hell of a lot easier by Towner putting in a well placed shoulder into Jack's opponent.
Several of them.
And he almost kicked a goal from a boundary line throw in the forward half, in the 450. So
one of his usual de-cleating, which is an American football phrase for when you hit somebody so hard that their shoes fly off in the third quarter, which is... I liked them anyway, but anything that reminds me of what he did to Jake Lever in the grand final just makes me happy.
And don't think for a second that stuff like that doesn't get noticed by the other team.
Mm.
You know, they're human beings. They're supreme athletes, but they are human beings, and they don't like to have their innards rearranged.
no, they don't. We've talked about a number of players. I think we've gone too long without talking about Jack Higgins.
Okay. So I actually rewatched. I particularly rewatched with interest the second quarter because that was his 7 possession. His highest, and I wanted to go because you're raising him because he had 15 possessions and he was our 4th highest rated player. So,
actually, more because he was 2nd on pressure acts and 4th in ranking points, and it was very much the Jack Higgins of junior. You know, the reason why Jack Higgins was a statistical freak who. Actually, that annoyed me greatly, was at one point in one of the breaks, David King talked about how Jack Higgins had never tackled when he was a junior. He tackled all the time. He averaged 6 tackles a game in the national championships. That's part of why he was good. He worked really, really hard, even as a junior. And he had the clearances, he had the tackles, he had the goals, and he won a decent amount of the ball. It was a good game.
It was a good game. I'm still, you know, I was interested to. I'm still interested in his clearance work, which, as of yet, his clearances he got a few. What did he actually get registered as? 5. I just watched them on the tape. A few of them weren't. They weren't high quality. They were sort of grab the ball, kick the ball, 20 meters, sort of stuff. But he still got them. And he still
he is as we saw. He is quick of mind.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I don't think we need to discuss this game anymore because there are goat herders in Mongolia debating whether or not it was a throw. But I will say that to me was definitively his best game. You want your best game to be your last game.
Yeah, and the second goal, like I was very happy he got over his goal-kicking yips for the first one. Look, it was... I've actually been through my laws of the game, and it is it's a really there's not actually a specific rule covering that situation. It actually says you pay a free kick for a throw if the ball is thrown in the air. It doesn't have anything about what constitutes a legal ball drop or not. So I actually think it's okay.
Yeah, look, frankly, I don't care. Wasn't the end in difference in the game, and it shouldn't be, for all the talk, it shouldn't be goal of the year. It was
a pretty brilliant bit of thinking.
It might be the cleverest goal of the year, but it's not even my favourite Richmond goal of the year.
Yeah, pretty close for me.
Above the Rioli one-handed mark, then play on and snap for a goal.
Yeah, that's aesthetically beautiful, but it's not nearly as beautiful as the goal of the year from last year from Rioli. So, yeah, it was pretty great.
You actually do have to choose your favourite one for goal of the year, though. So, which would you actually have it as the best Richmond goal of the year?
Yeah, I probably would actually.
The Jack Higgins one.
Yeah. Okay. I probably would right now, just for the just the thinking his way through the situation.
Novelty value. Baker.
He did look small, which is always my reservation about him, and he did get killed a couple of times in tackles, and he completely ran out of gas chasing in the last quarter. But in between those moments of doubt and uncertainty, and he should have had two goals, he had his moments.
Yeah, he was just... I think he did just enough to hold his spot. His pressure X were okay without being great.
It's an interesting question, because there's some competition.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking at his game again, and he did a few nice without being particularly exceptional, valuable things, but they were just okay, and he was holding his role, and they played him a bit. Like they didn't, they gave him 72% game time.
He got in some dangerous positions, which is reading the play, which is good. And like it was a fast game. It was a fast physical game. So he'll get a lot easier games than that.
But yeah, we both in the fourth quarter, we were talking amongst ourselves about whether or not he was injured, because he did one or two chases where he just looked absolutely cooked. Now he's not injured, he was just cooked. But
he could well have been cramping. He just wasn't running nearly as fast as he was in the first quarter.
Now we do have to briefly touch on the Nank Grundy matchup. I think it happened almost exactly how we predicted.
Yeah. Nank played well, Grundy played better.
Yeah, and Nank got better as the game goes on, and Nank did a few flashy high-profile things that some Richmond supporters would have walked out of the ground thinking he beat Grundy.
He did, and, you know, his intercept marking was good. He provided physical pressure, and, yeah, Grundy was close to the best player on the ground.
Yeah, I think he was.
Mm.
So, but that's a thing for another day. Grundy was genuinely good and genuinely beat Nank in the ruck, but we certainly didn't help things by not manning up properly. Grundy had 14 hit-outs to advantage. Now, that means he hit a person with the tap-out. It's a lot easier to hit a person with a tap-out, Nick. I'm going to put some technical ruck stuff on, drop some technical ruck stuff on you.
Mm.
If the midfielder you're tapping to doesn't have an opponent, it gives you a lot bigger margin for error about missing to a side-to-side. That happened too often.
There was a bit of that. I mean, it was, as I said, it was a fast physical game, and there were some guys feeling the pinch, and including in manning up, unfortunately. But they definitely gave us a bit to worry about for next time.
Oh yeah, I'm really worried. I'd be very happy not to play them again in the finals.
Mm.
They are currently, them and GWS are the two teams I'm most worried about.
Yeah. Oh. Melbourne have got pretty good upside as well, although, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, they've just proven themselves mentally frail at key moments repeatedly throughout the season. So, but yeah, I would Geelong, Port Adelaide, West Coast. I'd be really happy to have either of them first weekend of the finals.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice summary of what we think about the game overall. Anything about the VFL that stood out to you? Well, I guess it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, a couple of things mentioned about Baker, that, you know, Patrick Nash was in the squad this week, so he's got to be pretty close, I think, that you know, they. I mean, if you're going to play somebody who's very small and not very physical, that, you know, you've got to think about it.
By the way, I watched training, took the kids to training on Thursday, and Patrick Yace... Oh, by the way, just one little story I forgot to tell from it, that the whole team came out one by one, and they got the, you know, come on, Corey. You know, I was only the seniors, by the way, so I was... it wasn't Corey, but come on, Brando, and yeah, Kochi, yay. But when Dusty came out, he was the last one to come out. Literally, the crowd went, like there was this gasp of awe and excitement. Yeah. And then there was the Dusty and, you know, the biggest cheer. And, you know, he has the mystique on Rockstar no Richmond player. I mean, Richo was a star, but he... You know, there's something about Dusty. He just has this mistake. Anyway, Patrick Nash.
Part of Richo's appeal was that he was sort of a born and bred Richmond supporter. Like he was one of us in a godlike physical specimen.
And he was approachable and accessible. People. Yeah, there were lots of stories about.
There are endless stories of him staying behind an hour after family day to sign autographs after everybody else has gone home.
Yeah, whereas when my kids were asking, can I get Dusty's autograph, the few old hands around me looked around and nodded wisely when I said, kids, sorry, Dusty doesn't do autographs.
Yeah.
He does do them in some circumstances. I have heard of one nice Dusty autograph story, but he does not do them at training. We digress. Patrick Nash was very nice, though. That was what reminded me of that.
Pretty slick. Yeah.
No, but he was very nice to the kids.
Oh, good.
Because he was signing autographs because he was on an emergency. But yeah, I thought you were going to start with Kellen Mowell, who had five goals and
one of the. He had some nice goals, but you know, kicked five goals, 3-7 contested marks, which is a lot.
And he's got a bit of magic, though. Like that's
he does that. The goal from the right hand pocket, that was a beauty.
Yeah, and so that's his second spectacular goal he's kicked in the last few weeks. That's having a bit of magic is a useful thing as a forward. And you know, watching our rucks get, we got get bashed from pillar to post.
The non Nank moments were a problem. Like Cox was a problem all day, but the non-Nank moments were really a problem against Collingwood, which is not a surprise since they have the best ruck duo in the league. But I think that would have given us some thought.
Yeah, like the Callum Moore option is it remains a 45-55 question whether or not you play him. But I'm as evidenced by the loving analysis of his game, I'm sort of still very much in the Townsend bandwagon.
I know. Your Prestia out this week. I think there's two key. One of either Lloyd or Miles has to come in. I mean, Miles has played well again, but Lloyd's been the carryover player for the seniors, so... You know, can't rule him out either.
No. I mean, Miles only had 27. He was heavily tagged. There is... the selection process for Miles is very fair and reasonable. As you know, he needs to continue to play well in the VFL and cure cancer. And when that happens, he'll play in the seniors. We'll see what happens.
Noah Bolter watch continued.
Yeah.
17 disposals, 8 marks. He had... As you know, one of the stats I really like is when if you can manage 10 combined rebound 50s and inside 50s, and he had 9, which is that's a pretty good day at the office for someone who's 6'5".
Yeah, a nice running goal. One actually, the smoky I was most pleased about was Ivan Soldo played his best game for a number of weeks with 16 disposals, 33 hit-outs.
Played well.
Yeah, that got me excited. Because I think I would be very happy with Ivan Soldo potentially getting a game or two towards the end of the year, because I think Nank is a precious jewel in our premiership defence.
Do you know what the betting line for our game against Gold Coast is?
No, but I have not looked at the advanced betting odds for that game.
53 and a half points.
Yeah.
So even if Nant goes out and they go down 4 points, yeah, that's still a pretty comfortable win.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see what they do.
I was interested that they gave Ryan Garthwaite a go playing sort of ruck forward, and he kicked an extremely popular goal in the last quarter once.
He's a big boy in person. Like, he's got thank you, Captain Obvious. He's on an AFL list for Cap. But, like, he looks big even amongst AFL players. Which, by the way, Patrick Nash is not playing AFL this year. Once you see him standing next to an AFL player, you know, in an AFL huddle, you just go, nah, you know, this kid should not be playing AFL this year. But Garthwaite has the opposite effect. He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, which is, he's only just turned 20. He does have long arms.
Attribute.
He's going to fill out. Yeah, Geelong. Are you worried?
No, actually, I'm not.
I'm worried. I'll be more worried. They're playing quite well.
Are they?
Well, reasonably well. Well, actually, I can. I'll give you the upside case before I cast shade on it. So they've had some good wins. Beating Melbourne was a good win, and beating it. We'll get to that.
There we go. Sorry.
They beat a, you know, they handled a frisky Brisbane team very comfortably. Tom Hawkins has kicked 20 goals in the last 4 games. Yeah, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, 2 games at... there's always an asterisk at Cadinia Park games and the Geelong...
Do you know what their record away from Cadinia Park is?
Oh, I do tell.
Yeah, so they've... They have lost once there, but they're 5-1 at... Cadinia Park and 6-6 away from Cadinia Park.
By the way, in the Melbourne game, they had 10 less shots at goal and 14 less inside 50s.
They do kick straight. They do. What worries me about how they could win for a game that the betting line's about the same as it was for the Collingwood game, about 3 goals. Their midfield is very good offensively, to state the obvious, in between obviously Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, backed up by Menengola.
We've just lost our best defensive midfielder.
Well, and we've lost Graham already, so we were already down on defensive midfielders. Yeah, that does worry me a bit.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. We've still got enough there, I think, we're close enough to our full strength team. Tom Stewart will hopefully not play.
You think it'd be unlikely on a short rest.
Yeah, by the way, he got injured in our last game. I was just going through the numbers for that. I just think we handled them reasonably well last time, and you know, there hasn't been a big movement in the two teams. It's at the same ground, obviously. And I just think, you know, Ablett's very attacking nature will get found out.
I do hate it when Chris Scott compared having to play at the MCG to other teams having to come to Cadinia Park. Like, other teams have to come to Cadinia Park once every couple of years. Yeah, you play at the MCG
exactly.
Seven or eight times a year. Well, that's a little bit different, and it's got quite unique ground dimensions. Typical Scott brother.
Yeah, they are angry media manipulating little men.
Angry whining men, but we play well on the wide open spaces and have more athleticism than they do. That's the one thing. They are capable of having a game where, like as with the Melbourne, when they play Melbourne, that we play much better than they do, but they kick everything and score a lucky win. That's possible. And we could have a down day. We haven't had a... Well, the Giants game was a bit unpleasant, but yeah, it's possible we come out flat.
Yeah, and you know, just Tomahawk's third in contested marks per game, and you know, take those
second in goals. Yeah, he's
and you take those big marks.
Having a great season.
Yeah, you take those big marks, you get good quality shots, and you'll kick straight. Jack's eighth, by the way, so having not completely unrespectable season himself, as we mentioned before.
No, and if they get something out of that, they got nothing out of their small forwards last time, and they've turned them over, and Fogarty and Narkle, who've been in okay form, so it's, yeah, it could be close.
The nice thing is we don't have to win.
No, not at all. I mean, we do have James Hird's premiership favourites a couple of weeks after that, so that'll be a tough game.
Oh, I'm terribly worried about Essendon.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, Joe.
That was a deeply strange comment. I just hope he's got some money on it before the price comes down from the $67 that they're currently paying for the premiership.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah, we did watch that. They were celebrating that win pretty hard. But, you know, Nick, we remember that when we were 10th or 11th in Atlanta and hunting 8th for the chance to sneak a final. They are actually pretty exciting.
For the chance to be disappointed in September.
But, yeah, you know, like, this is the most relevant football you'll play, whereas for us, the regular season's getting a bit boring because we know with this far more relevant football, you know, number one topic for amongst Richmond supporters most interested in is which game will I attend every game in the finals, or will I pace myself?
Well, who finishes fourth? I'd really, as I said, I'd really like it if Port Adelaide managed to sneak in ahead of the Giants. That would be okay.
Or, you know, if West Coast fall apart a bit, it'd be hard, actually, because they've got...
Well, they did their best in the second half in Hobart.
Yeah, and in fairness, they're only... fascinating podcasting, but they're only a goal... They're only a game and 4 points above Port Adelaide. Like, you know, you can easily make up 4 points. So
4 percentage points.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're four points and 4 percentage points, actually, ironically. Ironically, just coincidentally. And GWS, unfortunately, could easily sneak into the top four. I really don't want to play them on the MCG.
No, they've got... they're the only team I worry that their midfield really is more athletic than ours. And that's not an easy thing.
No.
Mm.
But, Nick, this is all rich person's trouble because we're on top of the ladder.
Top of the ladder, premiership favourite. It could be worse.
Indeed.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last one. 7 years and the Tigers are like the Tiger of old. The storm and the bone for the Tiger.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Nothing early.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Conjun. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all credit. They've built something fantastic and they're just going to keep riding away.
Risking head and skin, we're behind them, never mind the
till the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and we're bold, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
D. Martin, three votes.